We've spent trillions of dollars, and yet Europe has just had the biggest blackout anybody's seen.
Who do you think is going to replace Klaus Schwab? Do you think it's going to be some free market capitalist? You know, like, no.
Like, you have to leave your signature. So, hey, the Bitcoin way's been here, right?
If all your money's in a Canadian bank account, it'd be quite tricky to, like, move countries and get that all moved around. With Bitcoin, just get on the plane.
I don't even like to tell people about it anymore because I'm worried they won't trust me. It's gotten that bad.
I visit different jurisdictions on a regular basis, man. I mean, the sovereign lifestyle, let me tell you, once you get a taste of it, it's very hard to let go.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick, the man behind our memes, and Tony, the wind beneath our wings, here with me. Guys, let's jump into the news. We got some wild stuff going on. Alrighty, up first. So Spain, Portugal experiencing massive blackouts, knocking out electricity across both countries entirely. I think southern France was hit as well. And Tony, you tweeted, you guys remember the fabricated, quote, cyber attacks I warned about in most of my interviews. Here we go. So, Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first. Is this a planned thing in your mind, or is this a function of them migrating increasingly to unreliable energy sources, or a combination of the two? Or are the unreliable energy sources they've moved to part of the plan? Tell me what you think.
It's a very interesting one, isn't it? That all of these things just happen to happen all at once, right? I mean, what are the chances of that? But, you know, my fabricated cyber attacks were initially around how they're going to steal your money. But, you know, everything can happen in steps, right? Like, it doesn't have to go right for the money. They can sort of like prepare you for that world where everything is falling apart. I don't think this is a random thing. I think whatever's behind this, and, you know, we'll know soon enough, is a result of theft and corruption on very, very high levels. Like, no matter which way you look at this, this cannot possibly be the result of a well-managed government or a well-managed system. There is grift on so many levels that has, you know, just gotten worse over time. And just this is all just confirmation that these people just don't care about you. They don't care about the country. They don't care about the people. They don't care about anything. If it falls apart, goes to hell, so be it. As long as they're okay, that's all that they really care about. So what happens to you, your families, your kids, no one gives a shit. So what's really behind this mess is bad news, at least as far as I'm concerned. Exactly what the cause is, I have no idea yet, but, you know, time will tell, you know, when the facts start to come out, and they will, you'll start to see how all the dots are connected. And if this is sort of like the preview to the end game, which is like wrecking something in order to justify the final act of stealing your funds, you can remember this tweet, because I think this is exactly how they're going to do it. I just don't see any other way for them to outright come out and steal your funds.
Yeah, well said. Rick, what's your take?
Yeah, I don't know, right, is the answer. I don't know what caused it. I'm not sure anybody does yet. But one thing I'm extremely confident about is that the official narrative that we're going to be given about why it happened, I think it's going to be a crock of you know what, right? Because we're already hearing sort of rumors that it was some atmospheric event or something weird happened with the weather. And I'm kind of thinking, it's almost predictable how stupid this is going to get, right? They're kind of say, the weather's really bad, guys. We should do all solar panels and windmills, right? And then when the energy security of the grid goes down because of that, they're now going to blame the fact that we have genuinely net zero electricity in any of our homes. They're going to say, oh, bloody climate change again, guys. We just can't win. And I think Tony's spot on about, like, it's just a massive, it's a massive grift from start to finish. If you look at things like globally, how much money have governments collectively been spending on this green agenda and green technologies and renewables? We're talking trillions and trillions of dollars that have been piled into these schemes. right? And the crazy thing is we've spent trillions of dollars and yet Europe has just had the biggest blackout anybody's seen. How do you square that away? How has this investment been, you know, adequately used? And the answer is it hasn't. Because, well, look, I'm not going to get into the whole climate debate, right? But I think most people who've done a little bit of reading understand that, look, you know, carbon is 0.04% of the atmosphere. And this crazy, almost religious fervor to try and reduce that number is not based on any good quality science. But what it is very good at doing is allowing governments to give very lucrative billion-dollar contracts to their friends to go and build some solar panels and to go and build some wind farms, and there'll be lots of paybacks. So there's lots of stupid games going on here, and it is just a way of extracting wealth. And these guys will be just fine. They don't really care if you run out of power or anything, right? So I think the takeaway for me is this is all pointing to this is why you need to be self-sovereign. If you rely on your government for almost anything, that puts you at risk. So if you rely on your government for all of your food, you don't produce any of your own food, big risk. If you don't produce any of your own energy, big risk. If you rely on their money, big risk. So you protect yourself more the further you go down this self-sovereign sort of lifestyle. I mean, look, my family's out in Spain at the moment. Couldn't get hold of them for the last 24 hours. Nobody's got access to their ATMs and their cash. Like it's pretty wild, right? Like I've been running around on the phone to my mom trying to figure stuff out and help her out with this stuff. If the alarm bells aren't ringing in people's heads, like, hang on, right? The world's gone completely batshit crazy. I need to start taking action here. I think this should be a big wake-up call.
Yeah. Well, Rick, don't worry. It could never happen here in America, I'm sure.
Oh, never.
No, of course. Crazy times. I'm sort of torn. What I tend to assume, the further I go into Bitcoin, the more open I am to this is planned. I mean, you know, you look at COVID and that. There's a part of me, though, that looks at what Spain and Portugal have been doing in terms of energy production, moving to, you know, green renewables. And like, this could just be a matter of, they can't produce the energy that they need, and they're reliant on unreliable sources of energy. So, yeah, I agree with you too, Rick. We will not know the real truth behind this, or at least the what we're told in the mainstream media will not be the source of truth that anyone should be paying attention to. So, alrighty, up next, we've got more bad news globally. Canada just elected an ex-central banker, a 2 times ex-central banker. I think it said he was the first UK non-UK citizen to be governor of the Central Bank of England and also Canada. Doubtful that this man, Mark Carney, is that his name? Am I getting that right? Is going to be a real helpful toward pushing a Bitcoin first agenda because we put he and all of his friends at risk in doing so. Rick, why don't you take this one? What, dude, all these years of Trudeau, they had another guy, they're all politicians, I get it, but there's like an obvious choice here on like who's like the more free market guy. You know, we've got a potential Bitcoiner or Bitcoin, you know, supporter that could have taken office, and we get this clown from the central banks. What do you think?
Well, look, you know, most of the time on this show, right, like I'm a British guy discussing American politics and things I probably shouldn't have too much of an opinion on. And I'll warn you, like my knowledge of Canadian politics isn't much better, right? But I've heard the Pierre, is it Polyev?
Polyev,
yeah, like, I can never say that. I've heard him speak and I think he's got his head switched on. He's a politician, so I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but generally seemed like an all right choice, and seemed like he understood Bitcoin as well. Mark Carney, on the other hand, why would you vote for the Antichrist to be your prime minister? Like that will forever blow my mind, especially after Trudeau. Like, wow. The thing that's quite remarkable about this, though, is Carney, I think, was only campaigning to be the president of Canada for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And I think Pierre has been working at it for like 3 years. So, oh man, listen, I'm going to sound like a crazy person on the internet again, right? But like, I've already seen videos of like people sticking ballot boxes in the back of their car and some weird election results where, you know, suddenly there were like trackers that were tracking the votes that went offline. So like something smells fishy to me about all of this. But I don't think this is good news for Canadians. You've basically got a guy in power now who thinks that printing money solves problems. And I think, yeah, I mean, Canada's struggling already. So having a central banker in play here is bad news. I think it's a good reason to start looking at, like, what are my other options? Where can I move to? Can I get residencies in other countries, right? Your money, if it's in Bitcoin, is borderless. So, you know, that's one problem solved with Bitcoin straight away. Like, if all your money's in a Canadian bank account, it could be quite tricky to, like, move countries and get that all moved around. With Bitcoin, just get on the plane, nice and easy. So I think people should be looking at that quite carefully. I've heard rumors that this is a sort of like anti-Trump reaction because like maybe Carney has like rode this wave of like the Canadians say we're going to fight Trump, and then Carney's come along. I'm a central banker. We're not going to buy any American bonds and fight back. And man, all these crazy liberals, right? If they think Mark Carney's here to save them, you honestly feel like there's no hope. This guy is not on your team. And the fact you can't see that is mind boggling. So just like I'm trying to, I love Canada and I love Canadians, by the way. They're some of the funniest people on the planet. I love their TV show, especially let me know in the comments if you've seen Trailer Park Boys. That's probably the funniest TV show of all time that came out of Canada. I love the Canadians, but I think Canada's in trouble and I'd be trying to get out just like I'm trying to get out of the UK because it doesn't look great.
Yeah. Tony, you've spent some time in Canada. What is it about these nice, kind-hearted Canadians that can't figure this out?
Man, this is very depressing and disappointing, honestly. I mean, if there's any Canadian with, you know, an IQ above 2, they better secure a plan B and leave, because this is like mind-boggling, beyond belief, stupid what just happened, considering everything that they just went through. They just re-elected a different version of the same shit back into the same position. Like how retarded is that? Listen, it's you can't really blame a politician for being garbage if the people put him there, right? So, I mean, I think the onus of responsibility falls more on the people than the politician. He's going to do what, you know, he's skilled to do, which is, you know, whatever that is. But if you have a right to vote and you vote like a moron, well, then, you know, you have to suffer the consequences of that stupid decision, which I think it absolutely is. And I love Canadians. I have a lot of Canadian friends, but I mean, this is beyond, like, I mean, there's no words to describe this beyond, like, you know what, deal with it and whatever outcome, you know, plays out, you know, well, you voted for it, so enjoy it. But my piece of advice, if you've got money and you've got a little bit of common sense, start looking at a plan B, because this definitely doesn't bode well for Canada, at least not anytime soon, in my view.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of we were talking about the World Economic Forum, and so many people were excited that Klaus Schwab is out there, and it's like who do you think is going to replace Klaus Schwab? You think it's going to be some free market capitalist? You know, like no, like Canada's just decided to make the same determination for their country. They're, like many of them were excited to see Trudeau leave, and they've just elected, or Rick, you might be onto something. It appears as though maybe they've democratically elected someone to replace him who is going to go down the same path. So I'm not bullish on Canada here in the short term. Hopefully they get this turned around. But in the meantime, couldn't agree more. I would be looking desperately for a plan B if I lived in Canada at the moment. Alrighty, speaking of insanity, Coinbase is introducing a Bitcoin yield fund seeking 4-8% returns. So the fund targets institutional clients looking for passive return on their Bitcoin holdings. I feel like we've seen this before. And I mean, my observation, of course, is that there is no native yield on Bitcoin except for freedom and the friends you make along the way. And if you're looking for any yield that extends beyond those two things, you're looking in the wrong place. Bitcoin isn't for you. Tony, why don't you take this one? What's your interpretation of what's going on at Coinbase?
Sure, man. This is going to be fun to watch again, because clearly, you know, if these products are being pushed out and a lot of people adopt them, then, you know, there's a lot of people that just love pain and learning the hard way. How many exchanges have blown up just in the last 10 years. You know, there's been like one, and that each one is bigger than the one prior, right? Coinbase right now holds the biggest amount of Bitcoin ever of any custodian, I believe, right? And so there's a strong suspicion that they may not even have all the Bitcoin that they're holding. So some people have confirmed that that's not true, but, you know, there's nothing has been like categorically proven. There's no proof of reserve, so you can't really tell. When you start playing these games, it's like playing Russian roulette. If you're lucky, you come out alive. Most of the time, at some point, if you keep playing it, you're going to hit that bullet and it's going to blow you up. So I don't recommend anyone engage in any of these services. There's no such thing as free money. I mean, we've learned this numerous times. But unfortunately, you know, people are still going to repeat the same mistakes because somehow they believe it won't affect them, or that somehow they're smarter than others, are going to do it slightly different, that they'll be okay, until it's not. So, but, you know, it's a free market, right? So if people like these services and, you know, adopt them, you know, let each one learn from their own experience.
Yeah, Tony, you hit on something important. So it said in the article that Bitcoin produces no passive yield. Coinbase Asset Management said in a blog that Coinbase Bitcoin Yield Fund differentiates itself from others that, quote, require institutional allocators to take on significant investment and operational risk. Instead, it promises a conservative strategy that avoids riskier high-interest Bitcoin loans and systematic call selling. So, trust, don't verify. Basically, we've got your back. We'll make good decisions with your.
This reminds me of all the banker reputations in Lebanon. They were all, you know, if you walked into an office of any one of these prestigious banks and you talked to the VP or whoever it is, behind him on the wall would be all his shining diplomas, right? Graduate of Oxford or graduate of this and graduate of that, like to give you the peace of mind that you're dealing with someone with a brain, right? And yet all of these glamorous graduates were certified thieves. So if you're going to believe this bullshit, then, you know, I've got bad news for you, because there's no such thing as free money.
Yeah. At this point, I am, if you have Harvard on your resume or Yale or Oxford, you actually lose credibility with me. You've got to prove that you're smart, because I'm unconvinced. I actually, my graduate degree is from a relatively prestigious Midwestern university, like kind of like one of the like Harvards of the Midwest. I don't even like to tell people about it anymore because I'm worried they won't trust me. It's gotten that bad. But fortunately, that was cybersecurity. I wasn't taught philosophy or any of the bullshit. Rick, what is your thought on Brian Armstrong just continuing the scamming?
Oh man, it's like watching the same bad movie all over again. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when you've been around a while, because you guys will know as well as I, like the amount of memes that the Bitcoin community has made about don't chase yield, the amount of articles that have been written. Do you know that guy, Alan Farrington? Like, he explained in excruciating detail why you shouldn't be chasing yield with Bitcoin. And the obvious question is, where does the yield come from? So like, let's think this through and try and put it in as simple terms as we can, right? So these people are saying, give me your Bitcoin and I will generate a return of 4 to 8% and give it you back. So you'll get Bitcoin plus a little bit, right? Sounds great, right? Everybody likes free money. The problem is, that means that they have to take that Bitcoin and invest it in a way that outperforms Bitcoin to give you that positive yield back. But we're dealing with an asset that has outperformed everything for 16 years. So my question has to be, what are you doing with this Bitcoin? Like, how are you so smart that you're going to outperform the best performing asset of 16 years and provide this positive yield? And look, there's so many other problems with it, like, for example, the counterparty risk, right? And all that risk you take on. There is no such thing as a risk-free return. So you are going to put your Bitcoin at risk. You are going to take on counterparty risk. And okay, look, you know, in the last cycle, we had companies like there was Voyager that went under, Celsius went under, BlockFi went under, and they were they were promoting all this garbage as well, right? And I mean, there was even people saying like, oh, you know, I've bought this fancy supercar with the yield, and basically that means the car is free and all this sort of stuff. And it reminds me of a saying that my my mum would always tell me. It's like, Rick, if it sounds too good to be true, it almost certainly is. Now look, Coinbase are trying to say that their way of making this return is a cash and carry Bitcoin trade using market neutral arbitrage strategy that exploits the price difference between Bitcoin's spot market and its futures market. Okay, right. So they're trying to, you know, they're trying to arbitrage the difference between real Bitcoin and some paper Bitcoin that people are trading and speculating on. Man, it's crazy. We've seen this blow up so many times. And when they blow up, there's no one to bail you out because it's Bitcoin and you can't print it. So you're taking on, I think, a lot more risk for a 4% return. 4%, right? You can find high interest savings accounts that will give you better than a 4% return. And I've got to address the greed, the sheer greed of this, right? If you're buying Bitcoin because you genuinely believe that this will be the world's next reserve currency, you know, that it's going to displace fiat currencies, that it's maybe even going to displace gold. I mean, look at the market cap of gold versus Bitcoin. It's almost 12 to 15 times higher, somewhere in that region, right? So the potential return of Bitcoin going even beyond gold is already massive. You know, over the last few years, you've had this compound annual growth rate of 50%. And I'm like, guys, honestly, if a 50% compound annual growth rate isn't enough for you, I don't know, man, just go to the casino, like, you know, go and gamble it all the way on slot machines and all of this sort of stuff, because that is a phenomenal return. And all you have to do is nothing. If anything, if my experience in Bitcoin has taught me anything, I think the biggest trap that people fall into is that doing nothing feels weird, right? Like, we have become so dislocated from the idea of just saving your money that people kind of feel like, well, yeah, but I should be doing something. They want to feel like they're taking some sort of action or making decisions, right? So it makes them feel better, like, yes, I'm doing something, because the feeling of doing nothing at all and hobbling, it just makes them feel uncomfortable. And I think that's the mistake. So look, I think every Bitcoiner that's been around for a little while, if you speak to them, will say, listen, be extremely careful with these kind of products and probably best to avoid them altogether. And finally, the provider who's offering it to you is Coinbase. Now, we don't do this on purpose, right, for our audience. We don't sit every week and go, oh, what could we say about Coinbase today that makes them look bad? It's just like literally every week more news comes out about some crazy thing that they've done. So I would already be like, I don't know if I'd want to do business in that arena with them anyway. So my advice would be, just save your money in Bitcoin and ignore all of this. This is fiat. This is fiat. Whether that's a fiat thing, don't touch it.
Well said. Hey, so I apologize. I've got a cold that's still lingering. My brain fog is pretty bad. Tony, did you already comment on this one?
I did, man. I did.
Okay, but I thought so.
I can go on, you know, on a rant, but I think it's enough giving these clowns more attention is unnecessary.
I was sitting there. I was like, I think Tony just said something about this. Okay, so speaking of Tony, we've got. I assumed, Rick, you had a different theory on this next and final little story we'll have. I assumed, and for anyone who's listening to audio only, we've got a picture that I thought was Tony. The first picture of Tony in the womb. He's got his laser eyes flipping off the ultrasound tech. But Rick, I think you might have had a different thesis for what this is a picture of.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that was Tony's ultra scan, right? But at the same time, you know, Tony's pretty permanently online. He's always easy to reach, right? I'm sure our clients will attest to that. You ping him at any time of the day with a Bitcoin question, he gets back to you straight away. But I have noticed a little bit of a pattern between sort of 4 and 7 a.m. He goes a little bit quiet. And as we know, he doesn't sleep. So what's he doing? I think he might be secretly, covertly trying to create a Bitcoin army and impregnate all the women that he meets in Greece, create his own self-sovereign army of people who are going to push back. I mean, listen, if anyone was going to do it, it'd be Tony, right? I think, well, I hope that's what's happening.
Tony, do you have any comment?
Man, you know, eventually every truth gets uncovered. You guys fucking nailed it. You know, I've always said I want to build an army of Bitcoiners. And what's the best way to start? from the womb, right? you get them in the right mindset on day one. So that's a great picture, by the way. I don't know how you found it, but, you know, well done.
I love it. I love it.
On the pregnant bellies, he's putting little headphones on the pregnant bellies, right? And it's just the audio version of the Bitcoin standard being blasted into the womb.
It's like you plant a seed, you know, in every Plan B residency area, you know, that I visit. You know, it's like you have to leave your signature. So, hey, the Bitcoin way's been here, right? And so eventually, you know, it's world domination.
The next
you actually got nodes in all of these locations, Tony. You could say.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I visit different jurisdictions on a regular basis, man. I mean, the sovereign lifestyle. Let me tell you, once you get a taste of it, it's very hard to let go.
You've got technical nodes.
You've made the Bitcoin way anti-fragile, right? Because just like nodes, you can take out one Tony, but there's another one over there, and there's another one over there. It's a decentralized network of Yazbeks.
Yeah, just wait till the humanoid versions come out.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. So, Tony, you've got technical and biological nodes all over the world. I love to see it.
Absolutely.
All righty. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. As always, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We are building a self-sovereign army, not perhaps in the way that we've alluded to here, but we'd love to help you take proper 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. Do it the right way the first time. Don't take any chances. We don't take any shortcuts, make no compromises, only the best hardware. We also help with online privacy, setting up privacy phones, and yes, Plan B residencies. If you're in Canada, we expect you all to be visiting the website and inquiring. Please, again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to chat with you. Gents, as always, absolute pleasure. Good seeing you guys. We'll catch up again later this week.
Thank you very much, Michael.
And cheers,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Michael.